others also Vedic knowledge. So this is first pair. They should know the Shastras and they should teach the Shastras also. And then there's Yajana. Yajana, he must do deity worship, Yagya. He must do Yagya. And she should also teach others how to do this deity worship. And of course, there's Dana Pratigraha. He should accept charity from others. And she should also give in charity. It's not like Maharaj was talking yesterday evening, the system he learned from Garga Muni, that Maharaj or Prabhu, that you get everything in and you don't give anything. So, Brahmanas, there is example like Lord Ramachandra performed some sacrifice, and during the sacrifice it's supposed to give some charity to the Brahmanas. So he gave everything to the Brahmanas. And Brahmanas just accepted this charity, said, thank you very much for your offer. And then they gave it back, because what to do with it? We're Brahmanas. What are we supposed to do with all this kingdom? You take care of this, no problem. You know, like. So that's supposed to... Srila Prabhupada, a bit more in this. When they got this this temple in Chicago, I think, with Ambarish Prabhu. It was in Chicago? Do you know where it was, this temple? They wanted to buy a temple. And... they went with Srila Prabhupada to see the temple and the house, and it was like very aristocratic, very, very, everything was impressive, you know. And Prabhupada didn't have any money, but he went there with Ambarish Prabhu. Ambarish Prabhu, the nephew of Henry Ford, who had some money because he was in the Ford family. So he went there, and Prabhupada offered him like $300,000 or something on the spot. Prabhupada didn't have any money. And this this person said, okay, I will think about it. And after he thought a bit, he said, yes, okay, I can accept. And then he went to Ambarish Prabhu and said, is this possible? And Ambarish Prabhu said, yes, Prabhupada, we'll arrange, no problem. And then Srila Prabhupada gave the money, and he said, look, at the beginning of the day, I was poor, I had no money, and I got this $300,000, I just spent it all. You know? And now I still have zero. So yeah, that's an example. Brahmanas are supposed to not collect too much. Just have things, you know, easily give away. Anyway, so this is about charity. So then is the question, why is Srila Prabhupada speaking so much about Brahmanas? Because, I mean, who was born in a Brahminical family? Your family is Brahmanas or... Some.
Well, nobody's a Brahmin,
actually. Yeah, of course. Okay. So, at least someone was born in a Brahminical family, but most of us are not. We can extrapolate, because that's what Srila Prabhupada is actually teaching us. That we are probably born in a Chandala family, outcasts. We're born outside of the Vedic system. But still, by qualification, we can become the Brahmanas. Brahmanas. And who are the Brahmanas of the society we live in? And the answer, the good news and the bad news is that we should be that persons. So as Maharaj said, this doesn't mean that we should be like, oh, I wear a dhoti, I'm a brahmana. Okay, guys, you have to listen to me. No, this means that we should acquire the qualifications of the of brahmanas. So this is a bit hard work. But as Prahladananda Maharaj said in one class, that we should all do this work and try to become gurus. Otherwise, we are just lazy. That's his word. I'm not saying that. Otherwise, we're lazy. You know. So we should become these brahmanas that the society really needs, because a society without brahmanas is like a body without a head. It's useless. It's just going around. Crazy stuff. So Srila Prabhupada really wanted us to study these books. There's one famous meeting he had with the Sankirtan leaders from, apparently it was from, one devotee tells this, it was from Bhagavan zone, which was France, I don't remember, Italy probably. They had huge Sankirtan results. Huge, you know. And then Srila Prabhupada said, congratulated and said, oh, you've done very good. And then he said, but are you reading my books? And then they started. One devotee said, you know, Prabhupada, we don't have much time. We don't have time to read. And then Prabhupada looked at them and said, then what is the use? what's the point? So Srila Prabhupada really wanted that we become these brahmanas. This means, first of all, that we really study these books, that we know what's in the books. We were discussing that at some point, you know, like you can go for in Sankirtan for some time, and you can do some trick. You can distribute books on this Vaisha platform, or can say, "Oh, you're such a nice person. These books fits with your dress." You can say many things, you know, like, and you can distribute some books like this, you know, like if you tell people how nice they are and how much positive energy they have. This is you can do it, you know, like, of course you can do it, but at some point you get to the you get there where you're like, you're not fulfilled, you don't feel that you're fulfilled, you know, you want to go deeper, you want to distribute these books more like on a Brahminical platform, you know, you want to give them Bhagavad Gita and tell them, this is Bhagavad Gita, this is about the soul, this is about how to connect with Krishna. Maybe not directly, but, you know, like, you can, you have to be able to say something about the book, you know, like, not just, oh, this nice book, Einstein read it, which is good, you know. So we should be able to, at some point, and also, I'm reading some book wrote by Sankirtan devotee. It says that, and he says that most of the books we distribute to people who are putting some challenges, and we are able to overcome these challenges. You know, like, so we should really know these books, and we should be able to defend these books and present what's in the books for intelligent people. Of course, we don't have to say everything, that this is about how to surrender to Krishna. Okay, something which is relevant.
Somebody actually asked me on book distribution. As she said, what's the mantra that you chant? I said, Hare Krishna. She's like, can you show me this mantra in this book, in Bhagavad Gita, where exactly it is? And I opened the devotional service chapter and asked him to show me.
Okay. So, yeah, that's mostly intelligent people will come with some challenges. I met one young man. This was before the marathon. I gave him a chant and be happy. And after the day after or something, we met again. I didn't, of course, I don't remember. I cannot remember everyone. But he remembered. He said, look, I have your book, you know, like I read it, but it's too sectarian. Why does it say that it's Hare Krishna is the only way? Why is it so sectarian? So he was like, this is intelligent people. They are a bit in a challenging mood, but they are willing to listen also. So this is good. This is smart people. You know, so I told him a few things. You know, like, look, there's also this yoga process. I explained him how this yoga process is and what he should do and so on. And he said, he looked at me and was like, this doesn't sound very practical. Well, that's what I was saying. The practically speaking, in theory, you could do this yoga process and go in the caves and meditate and so on. But practically speaking, you can't. So that's the only practical way. I'm like, okay. I'll give it another chance. So yeah, we should study the books and be able to be on that platform that we can answer to some challenges like where's this in the book? You know, like very nice. And also Srila Prabhupada said, I think in a morning walk, that those who distribute the books will be happy and those who study them will stay. So there's so then the question, which one would you like to be? Second. Anyone else? Both, huh? Like, that's the classical dilemma. Would you like pizza or ice cream? So everyone knows the answer for that. If you ask them, do you want pizza or ice cream? And they're like, I want pizza and ice cream. Of course. What's this question? Normal, the answer. So yeah. So we want to do both, you know, like, of course, we want to distribute the books, but we also want to study the books. And this is really practical, that the devotees who study the books, they will stay longer in the movement. And the devotees who don't study the books, because especially if you go for Sankirtan, but also if you don't, if you go for Sankirtan, people will put so many arguments before you. And your mind will be like, this makes sense. Why am I distributing these books? So you should have the counter arguments. And this you get from studying the books. And also, even if you don't go out, your mind will come with so many arguments. Like, And then you should have the answers for to preach at least to this crazy mind. Like, yes, no. Because that, okay. Good. So there should be this study of the books. But of course, we understand that this study is not just theoretical. You know, like we sit now after this class, everyone goes and studies 8 hours. They will read. They finish 2 hours japa, and then 8 hours they read, and that's it. That's the program for the next eight months for this temple. No, it means that this should be also practical. Because if you read these books, they're like devotional service. So maybe at some point someone will come and try to engage us in devotional service. like we chant this Hare Krishna mantra, which means, please Krishna and Srimati Radharani, engage me in your service. And then someone comes and, can you do some service? No, go away. So you're like, come on, man, you're chanting 2 hours asking for some service and someone comes and fulfills your... you are asking for it. You're like, can you do something? No, go away. So there's devotees who say that actually this the absence of the impetus to act is nothing than some ignorance, the manifestation of the mode of ignorance. Also, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is apparently in this mood of, yeah, why fight? Why so much problems? Panchatattva ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Why do some service? Why this service you're proposing to me, Krishna? I don't like this fighting. Too much blood. So why not just go in the forest and meditate? Why so much devotional service? Always service, always service. So yeah, Krishna doesn't say, yes, yes, that's very good idea. You just go to some place and you chant Hare Krishna and that's it, you know, no problem. No more service for you. It's too much stress, this war stuff. It's too much blood, no problem. No, Krishna says, no, Arjuna, get up and fight. You know, this is your service. Do your service. Srila Prabhupada says in one morning walk, he says, we don't approve that go in a solitary place and chanting. My Guru Maharaj did not approve. This is all nonsense. You cannot chant, sir. You'll sleep only and think of all nonsense. You must be engaged for preaching work. So Srila Prabhupada is very practical. She says that for us on our level, it's impossible to imitate Haridas Thakur. And if you do, then we'll just speak, sleep and do some nonsense, because we can't control the mind. They had some African devotee at some point, and he was trying to imitate Haridas Thakur. He was just chanting 192 rounds and so on, you know, like. After 3 weeks, he got up and left. just left, you know, like. Why? Because it's not something we can do on our level with our crazy mind. And there's another funny example. Apparently, there was famous bhakta who went to Radhakund. He was Bhakta Richard. He was the famous, apparently he was famous, and he was there, he was chanting 64 rounds per day with the Babajis, and Srila Prabhupada said about it, him, he said, someday when Bhakta Richard becomes advanced enough, he'll leave Radhakund and come back and preach in our movement. When he becomes advanced enough. So sometimes we have this idea that if you're advanced, we go to Radhakund and just chant, you know. Like, but Prabhupada said that if these devotees who go and chant in Radhakund 64 rounds, whatever rounds, they become advanced enough, they come to and preach. Or sometimes probably a big advancement would be to chop some vegetables in the temple, you know, after. So, yeah, that's the point. The idea is that this study should transfer into some practical devotional service. Then we have some practical experience. Otherwise, we cannot understand the books. It's like sometimes I give this example to people. Like you read 100 books on how to play football. Yeah, you know everything, actually. You know, like, yeah, you have to hit like this and this, the foot like this and run like that and this, but you never play football. It's like you'll have your PhD in football and everybody will be like, wow, amazing, man, amazing, this is amazing, but you have no idea about football. So similarly, of course, we should also put these books in our life. And so we should really study these books. And do something practical. And if you do something practical, some yagya in some way or another, then there's an interesting thing that happens. Every time there is some yagya in, not every time, but sometimes in Bhagavatam, there is Krishna appears and asks, what do you want? You know, because many times devotees or not so devotees, they perform yagya with some desires. And when you perform yagya, Krishna naturally comes, even not directly, and he asks, what do you want? You know, like, well, okay, you were chanting, you performed this yagya, you did this, you did that, what do you want? And there is some, quite a few cases in Bhagavatam, and there's a few answers. For example, you could ask for a good wife. There is Kardama Muni. Krishna appears in front of him and he says, what do you want? And Kardama Muni says, you know, like, it's really stupid to ask you for this, but actually I want a good wife. Can you arrange this? And many times you see people ask, Krishna appears and they're like, what do you want? I want a good son. Okay. Okay, if you want a good son. And Krishna, no problem. Or you have Aditi who is performing this tapasya, and Krishna appears before her and he says, what do you want? You know, like, and Aditi says, you know, my Bali Maharaj conquered the heavenly planets and I want them just reinstated in their position. I want a good life for my for my sons. So this is cases from Bhagavatam. So we might be in the same position, you know, that Krishna comes after some yagya and he says, what do you want? And we say, oh, I want a good husband. Oh, I want a good wife. Oh, I want, for Krishna, for Krishna. I want a good son, for Krishna, of course. I want some, Dhruva Maharaj wanted a big kingdom. He says, yes, I want some big house. Yeah, maybe we're not on his level. We want a big house, not. And many, many times, if we insist, Krishna will, you say, okay, no problem. You did the yagya. You performed the austerity, so here you go, no problem. But it's not gonna make you happy eventually. So there are also other examples, like also Dhruva Maharaj, when he was doing these austerities for a bigger kingdom. But when he sees Krishna, he's like, oh my God, I'm so stupid. What's this stupid request? You know, like, I want a kingdom. But and there's the famous part where he says that he was looking for some pieces of glass and he got a diamond. So when you get a diamond, what do you want? You want some, you know, like, you can give me some glass also. You have $1 million dollars and you're asking for can you give me $10 also? I mean, I have $1 million. It's like this stupid there's a stupid joke with the Russian, you know, like there's and in Russia they like vodka and he meets the fish who fulfills all the desires and he says, this fish, he says, I can fulfill your three desires. And this person says, but fast. Can you give me a glass of vodka? Like, yeah, okay. So he gives him a glass of vodka. Like, oh, vodka, oh, good. Like, and then he's like, second desire, very, very fast, very fast. They were on the Volga. And he's like, this Volga, when it should be only vodka. Vodka should be flowing here. You know, like, it's like the fish is like, okay, good. And he takes some glass from the Volga. It's like, vodka, good. Like, yes. Third desire, fast, I'm in a hurry, I have another engagement. What else do you want? like another glass of vodka. Anyway, I don't remember what the connection was, but we should. This is sometimes we have a lot, and we ask like, "Oh, can you have more?" Anyway, and then you have Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, his Lord Nisimhadev says, "Look, it's part of the protocol. When I come, that I ask if you want to take a benediction." And Prahlad Maharaj says, "Thank you, but I don't want any benediction." So, of course, he asks for some benedictions, like that in his heart there are no material desires, which is good benediction to have. And of course, you have Shikshashtakam, Nadanam, Nadjanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Jagadishakam, Aya, Mama Janmani, Janmani, Shvare Bhavatad Bhaktir, Ahaitukit, Vai. And Lord Chaitanya says he teaches us what benedictions we should ask, and he says no wealth, no beautiful women, no followers. No, this is to be important. And Lord Chaitanya asks only for more devotional service. So that's. That's a very intelligent benediction we can ask. After you do the marathon and you go 5 weeks, you go out and you're like fired up and you're at the limit. What you, when Krishna comes for and says, "Can I give you a benediction?" You should say, "Yes, can we have another marathon?" No, that's actually the point. Of course, I mean, you have to rest, and maybe you cannot do it in the same rhythm, but that's an intelligent benediction. That's what Prahlad Maharaj is asking, and that's what Lord Chaitanya is teaching us to ask. Okay, I've done so much service, and Krishna wants to give me a benediction. And what do you ask? You ask, "Can I have more service? More." So yeah, that's the point. I'll stop here if there's some questions, concerns, something like this.
How about the brahminical qualities? Srila Prabhupada had mentioned that two are the most prominent, which is purity and truthfulness. Can you tell what they mean?
Purity and truthfulness. Yeah, Prabhupada said many times, purity is the force. Purity, I mean, you can have many things. One is physical purity, but it's more or less mental purity. And mostly in preaching, purity means to give the message of the parampara as it is. So that's the most important. But that's also, you know, like preaching is such a big topic. And this doesn't mean just to give the message as it is. This means to give it as it is in a way that people can appreciate. So Srila Prabhupada was really expert in this, how to preach and preserve the message and also being relevant to the people. Otherwise, you know, like many times, one of the problems actually in preaching is if you have I'll just give you an example, you know, like you give something from the books, but in a completely stupid way, you know, like it is from the books, and you can say, "Look, this is Srila Prabhupada says this." I'll give you an example. I was in preaching in some city in Romania, and we had. There was this guy who knew a bit about our philosophy. He didn't practice, but he was somehow favorable. And he knew the philosophy. He was like a bookworm. He liked to read a lot. So he knew the philosophy. And there was two young couples who came for the program also. So there was this guy and these two young couples. And so I told them something. I don't remember. I tried to be something inspiring for them that they come second time also. And this guy was like, then I said, okay, do you have any question? And this guy was like, can you tell them something about sex in Krishna consciousness? I was like, no. So this is the kind of unintelligent things that people can do, you know, like, because you're like, oh, this is from Prabhupada's books. Yeah, of course it's from Prabhupada's books, but you should tell things in a relevant way, at the proper moment, with the right state of mind, and, you know, with having the proper relationship with this person, with them having the proper faith. You don't just throw things, you know, like, on the table, like... And just because it's from Prabhupada's books. Of course it's from Prabhupada's books, but you should have some common sense, you know, like what's appropriate for this person at this point, you know. Another example, preaching is really, really hard to know at which point you can tackle which problem. We have one friend in Romania, he's now living in a temple in Budapest, and he had a cat, you know, like, these attachments, you know, like, are really strong, you know, you don't play with attachments, like, oh, this is a stupid attachment. So he had a cat, you know, like, and of course I saw this, what does it mean that they have a cat? It means that they feed them meat, because cats usually are not vegetarian, and they feed them meat, you know, like, so... Of course, I understood this from day one, you know, like it was not a secret, you know, like I was like, okay, yeah, of course, he feeds meat to the cat. Or in the beginning, he was working for this vault or something like this, you know, so he's carrying, what is he carrying? Food, what's this food? Meat, of course. What does it mean? It means bad karma, it means horrible karma, you know, like. So, of course, you understand this from day one, but you have to know when and how to say it, you know, like. And so I was like long time building a relationship, instructing in all other things which were not, you know, like when people have attachment, that it's really very hard to get close to that, you know, like they are like, no, not this. So all this, usually you tackle all the non-sensitive topics. And then you get to the sensitive topics. You see, oh, this is a sensitive topic. Okay, we'll leave it for later. You just, you put it down, you know, a note there, but you don't, you know. So that's really, and so after 1 year, I think 1 year, I gave him, we were, after morning program, we took some prasadam. And I was like, you know, this cat, you know. Like, and he was ready to accept this. You know, like, and after he said, he even found some vegetarian food for cats, which I didn't think it's possible, but yeah, anyway, so that's the idea. Purity, yes, the purity means preserving the message of the parampara, but we should really do it in an intelligent way and have this common sense, otherwise we're just creating a mess. And really, many, many times, you know, like, you are preaching to someone, and the devotees do this completely. They say something from Srila Prabhupada's books, and this person is finished, you know, he's not coming anymore. Because devotees were too intelligent, you know, like. So it's really very. Preaching is really a tough topic, you know, like. You should have some real common sense of what to say, when to say, how to say. That it's, that it can really affect. So that's purity in preaching. The purity in preaching doesn't mean I'm saying, here is Bhagavad Gita, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, surrender to Krishna or you're burned in hell. That's not. That means also some intelligence. Like one of the qualities of Brahmanas is wisdom. He says, Krishna says, knowledge, this means you know, and wisdom means how to apply this knowledge, how to do this in practical ways.
Yes, thank you.
But at one point we must come to the stage where we say the truth.
Of course.
It might hurt, and like for example in Bhagavatam we have Vidura preaching to Dhritarashtra.
Yes.
And that was quite straight and that was effective.
Of course.
And in this case it says we just need to come to the point of be direct. Srila Prabhupada even in Bhagavad Gita says that
of course
that we shouldn't make it decorate it nicely but say as
of course I'm
who you are at that and then it will have effect.
Yeah, but what I actually did, I didn't tell him something else than Krishna consciousness. I just taught him how to chant 16 rounds, how to follow the regulative principle, how to do this. And eventually when the fruit was ripe, I said, look, it's time to... And it worked. Also, this case with Vidura, when Vidura went to Dhritarashtra, and he had this hard preaching, it worked. You know, like, if you don't know what you're doing, you'll have this hard preaching. Many, we know someone, there was some devotee had did some hard preaching, and this person doesn't want to have anything to do with ISKCON because of that. Because this devotee didn't know how to, when to, you know, like, so if you don't know, sometimes it's better not to, you know, like, yeah. Anyway.
Just a comment. I understand that when we are preaching, of course, you know, when we are doing book distribution, of course, we are saying these fancy words, you know, positive energy, all these things, you know. But at the same time, we cannot give the whole philosophy to a new person because they will be just like what because they have never heard of it. I understand that it's by using intelligence, you know, what level that person is on and how much we can preach them little by little, you know. That also requires intelligence because of course Srila Prabhupada, you know, he preached very straightforwardly and like that, but we are not on his level, you know. So I feel it's just my humble comment. I feel like we should see what the person is on which level, and then accordingly, by using our intelligence, we should, you know, preach. If that person is not ready to take completely, we can just little by little, and you know, invite them to the program. And of course, by Krishna's mercy, you know, slowly they can progress in their spiritual life.
Yeah. I mean, mostly in Sankirtan, what we want them to do is to take a book and go home and read it. If sometimes they might take a book just to, you know, like from other reason, but that's if you do that, then it's enough, you know, like. And also, you know, preaching also means what does preaching means? You come bring someone to the temple and you want to preach. You don't have to tell him the whole philosophy. You have to inspire him to chant, follow the regulative principle, read Srila Prabhupada's books. That's it, you know, like. If you manage to convince someone to read Srila Prabhupada's books, he will become a devotee, you know, like. That's, yeah. Anyway, okay. Grantras Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.